Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That. A few years ago, I went looking for adventure. What I actually found was the end of years of back pain, a body that finally fit my clothes again, and something I never expected, a personal wellness sanctuary right outside my door. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a daily habit that revitalized my health, my emotions, and even my sense of purpose. From easing stress to shrinking your waistline, there really is a walk for that. Join me as I explore the power of walking with inspiring guests and offer tips to help you make walking a fun, transformative part of your day. Today on There's a Walk for That, I'm joined by Carmen Rendell and Andrew Querden, the founders of Soul Hub and the creators of Soul Walks, a series of open-minded, heart-centered walks that combine movement, mindfulness, and human connection. I first met Carmen and Andrew when we were all training together on a Lowland Walk Leader course. While I was slipping around in the mud, trying to make sense of my map and compass, they both seemed wonderfully calm, curious, and grounded. And I quickly discovered why. Carmen is a psychotherapist who works outdoors as a walking therapist, helping people process life's challenges while moving through nature. And Andrew is a therapeutic dance and life coach, and in a previous life, a professional dancer on Strictly Come Dancing. If you've ever had the feeling that there must be more to life than the pace and pressure of modern living, then we explore how something as simple as stepping outside and slowing down can help us feel truly alive. Welcome, Carmen and Andrew. It's so great to have you on There's a Walk for That.
Thank you. Thank you for having us with you.
So we met when we were all doing a mountain leader training for the Lowland. My memory of that is I am just such a bad map reader. That aspect of the course was really like freaking me out. And I just remember being quite nervous about it. And I just remember like seeing you guys, and you just always had this very calm, joyful sort of way of being. It just really struck me. And I thought, what is their secret? You know, I learned a little bit as we were walking around, sloshing around in the mud. And I remember, Carmen, you telling me that you are a walking therapist.
Yes.
I have found so much joy and peace from walking. And so I was really intrigued to know, how do you actually fit walking into a kind of therapeutic context?
I guess, you know, I almost want to go back to how I found it. In the sense of how I brought those two worlds together, right? The psychotherapy and the walking. So for me, walking has always been a haven of peace and calmness, but also a real place to process anything going on in my life, to slow myself down. It's taken me to incredible places in the world. I'm sure we'll talk about at some point. So, you know, whether it's Patagonia or Everest Base Camp, it's you know, that's one thing. And then there's walking around your local park or just getting out in an evening and taking an hour just to separate, you know, the normal mundaneness of life and giving myself space to just be slow and quiet. And I guess, you know, through that process, I went, this is what keeps me well. And so as I did my psychotherapy training, I thought, I don't really want to sit in a room. You know, I'd been working at a desk in a corporate role for 20 years. And as much as I enjoy the camaraderie of being with other people and that everything that brings, I just thought I don't know, as a human, I was like, there's got to be more than these boxes, right? So somehow, how can I do this work but then be outside? So surely there's benefits to, and all the therapeutic benefits of actually even just being outside and walking in nature. So let's see what happens. You know, it was quite a curious first step. So I didn't know, there was one guy I had a sense of who had done some work outside, but there wasn't much talk about it. This was 10 years ago now. Obviously, the whole world has changed and COVID has opened this up, I think, for many coaches and therapists and for people to just even appreciate that they can do it for themselves. But, you know, as there are many you know, physical and I guess mental and environmental benefits of as we walk, what do we observe in both ourselves and in each other. And so I've learned as I've done it, really. I've like ended up pulling in not just my training, you know, from the psychology, but then also other aspects, other trainings that I've done. How do I interweave all that into the practice? So it feels much more than just you're sitting in a room, sitting staring at someone. Because some people get a bit funny about that too, right? They don't like the constant eye contact. Or, you know, people often say, you know, we have great conversations when we're driving next to our kids or someone else, or when we're walking with a friend and their dog, we have an amazing conversations, you know. And if you look back in history, some of the best writers and creatives in the world have come to their stories as they've meandered, you know, in their lands. So, you know, you bring all that together and I think you've got perfect medicine, really.
Yeah. And if I might jump in just quickly, I also know in Carmen, you know, she's naturally very curious and explorative, you know. So, I think I've always joked with Carmen, said she needs to write a book, something about what's around the next corner, you know. Wherever we drive, we walk, she kind of always wants to see what's over the next hill or around the next corner, you know. And the same when she's with her clients, I'm sure. She wants to know what's next or what's behind or what's underneath or... You know, so she's a seeker.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. Today's guests, Carmen Rendell and Andrew Querden from Soul Hub. We explore how curiosity and awareness of the world around us can shift our perspective and help us find peace and connection.
I think we're all curious and creative, but we don't always have the opportunity to express that. Walking is a great context for that.
And I guess it takes... You know, it's very much anyone can do it, right? That's the best thing about it. It's free and it's just, you know, and involves it moving. And obviously, even if you are constrained, if you're struggling to walk or you're not able to walk, you know, can you do it with somebody else? Or there's always a way. And so it's accessible for people to shift their mood or their energy and go and just go and explore, right? And as you said, you can see so much. We only take in something crazy like, I don't know, 2% of our environment. So as you walk, you think, well, all you've got to do is shift your head slightly and you look at something different, whether it's from that angle or on that day, you know, because the weather's changed. So it's all right in front of us, basically.
Well, there's two things. One is either you change the location, so you walk or you change your environment and therefore you will see and feel different things. Or, you know, if you are going around the same block or park, as it were, that's your stomping ground, you can also become aware of how each time you walk, you are not the same person. You are seeing life through a different lens. You know, you might be happy today, whereas yesterday you were worried, or today you're happy and, you know, yesterday, whatever the contrast is, and notice that you're seeing life always through your own lens. And so to notice how things can be different, even if they're the same. You know, sometimes if you are annoyed, you know, you're going to stomp your way around the park, you know, and you're going to be in your head, right? But if you're in a more peaceful, happy place, you might notice the butterflies or the leaves or the color or the whatever, you know. So it's just noticing what you notice is part of the mindfulness of walking, you know.
I love it.
Anything mindful, I guess.
Just notice what you notice.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That. I'm Harriet Thomas, and today I'm in conversation with Carmen Rendell and Andrew Querden from Soul Hub. In this next section, we talk about the surprising power of walking, how something so simple can strip life back to what really matters.
I sometimes think that it's the very simplicity of walking that means that people don't really believe how effective it is. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah, I do. And I guess one of the times it hit home to me most is on the Camino. You know, so there's a pilgrimage walk from Saint-Jean in France right through to Santiago. I've walked half of it and I've walked it in different stages yet to finish, whether I will or not, who knows. And I've met different people on the way. Andrew joined me for the last stint, but I've met incredible people.
Middle stint,
but at the end of our last stint. And then there's a feeling of how simple life is, right? All you need is a backpack for, you know, to carry some food. Even that you probably don't need because you'll always find somewhere to eat. You'll have, you know, water, access to water. You get somewhere to sleep. And then you meet people along the way and that's it. And it really strips back everything else, generally, because you don't know what else is going on in the world if you're not connected. So, and you think, okay, this is it. This is experience in life. And almost when you take away all the noise, you know, then you drop into a very different place, both within yourself and in experience to others and the conversations you have with others. And I guess it's quite ancient in the sense of, you know, it's not, you know, it was, it's been used for many things. People walk for, you know, for pilgrimages, they walk for war, they walk for peace, they walk, you know, so we use it as a mechanism in the world much more profoundly than sometimes we give it credit for.
Yeah, that's a lovely idea. I think I read in one of your posts about the difference between walking in nature and then walking in the town. Do you think there is a difference, either therapeutically or for our own well-being?
Yeah, I do. I also think almost everywhere you walk offers something different. So, you know, there is research around kind of, you know, people walking on coastal walks and how that gives them access to whether it's vitamin D's, but different
nutrients,
nutrients and things that are good for our body. You know, there is, what are we stimulated by? Sounds, smells, visuals, you know, all of those things affect our biology. So it, whether it's on a wild landscape, you know, even that thought process, that the state it brings you into, for some people that might be terrifying, you know, if they were on a safari and they've got, you know, a bunch of wild animals around them, what is that like? For other people, it might be a real sense of freedom to be, you know, in the mountains of Patagonia. So it stimulates something different in us. So, you know, whether an urban walk for by that nature, you know, for someone who's in a high-rise flat, you know, could feel like a huge escape for them. And so it's, I guess it's our self that we bring to it and our own relationship with that environment or and the world around us. But I guess also the biology around what is around us. So if we have, you know, trees and
water,
you know, what does that give us access to? So there are things that reduce our anti-inflammatory for the human being. There are other, I guess, textures and smells that stimulate, different chemical reactions within our body.
So balance our nervous system, and you know, and the other thing that is vitally important is that modern science, when I say modern science, the sort of last 150 years probably, has separated us from nature. And we are learning through the current science that actually, you know, what spiritual people and mystics and yogis have been teaching for thousands of years, we are nature. We come from it. We're an extension of nature. We're not separate from. And that actually when you go out into woods and natural areas, we feel more comfortable because, well, most people, unless you have a fear of the outdoors, which we can talk about in a minute, but it's around the fractal shapes. You know, there are no straight lines in nature. It's just that, for example, so everything's a softer, it's got a softer curve to it. There's more flow, there's more, you know, where the cities are very hard, they're straight lines. They, you know, so we, you know, if you look at the shape of a tree, sometimes it's the same shape as our lungs, you know, it's got the same patterning. You know, or the rings on our fingertips, the same the rings of a tree. You know, we feel we belong in nature, where we don't always feel like we belong in the cities. It doesn't mean that there's no nature in cities, and we can talk about finding nature in urban areas, but there is obviously more resonance when we go out into nature.
As you observe the world from a place of being outside, and allowing that information to inform, you know, your own status. So, for example, you know, you might sit and watch a sunset, you know, and therefore what does that provoke within you? The end of the day, you know, the start of a new day, the change of time, beauty, and you are stimulated by it, and it triggers something in our, you know, in our brains, which you wouldn't get if you're in a room, right? Yeah. And so what do you feel, you know? And it's, so it's, you're engulfed in it, and it's, it, you know, you absorb it much more, I think, than trying to take the human out of its natural environment, which is what we do when I think we step inside. But we think that's safe, is the irony. You know, we've developed these places, and of course they're warmer, they're, you know, they're sheltered, but then that almost disconnects us from feeling safe.
Feeling alive, you know, you go outside, you feel a sense of aliveness, where sometimes indoors you can feel safe, but there's a sort of a numbness to it.
That's right. It's feeling alive. That's exactly what it is. And sometimes I think, well, isn't that what everyone wants? You know, everyone's looking for ways to feel alive. They're looking for ways to feel calm. They're looking for ways to feel connected. Mm. And it's just outside your door.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. And today I'm in conversation with Carmen Rendell and Andrew Querden from Soul Hub. In this next part of our conversation, we explore what actually happens on a soul walk, where walking becomes more than just movement and people begin to slow down, reconnect and rediscover a deeper sense of themselves and each other.
I mean, I love the title Soul Walks. What happens on a soul walk?
So I guess we, you know, our kind of strap line, or one of the ways we describe is open-minded, heart-centered walks that sort of accentuate the natural benefits of walking. So we weave in gentle psychosomatic exercises. Basically, that means mind-body, that facilitate a more balanced and regulated nervous system, like mindful breathing, a form of reflective meditation, and mindfulness. We also do some gentle sharing. We can invite people to share little stories of things that they've maybe, you know, can inspire other people. We sometimes call it the hero's journey or the heroine's journey, where, you know, even if it's the journey to get to the soul walk, could have been challenging, but perhaps they learned something on that journey. Like, who have we become despite or through the challenges of life? And so that people, if there are other people in the group who are struggling, that they know that, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that people do get through stuff. And some people will share very sort of simple challenges, and other people will share that they've overcome cancer, or they have overcome a divorce, or whatever their challenge is. And, you know, and they're still here and they're still kicking. And so, you know, it's an opportunity. You know, we say it's not official, it's not therapy. We don't offer therapy. We don't tell people what to do, or there's no official therapy, but it's therapeutic, because we try and create a space that is safe, where people can feel themselves. So it's a level of intimacy and authenticity that they can show up and be themselves, and it's safe. And that's always the sort of fundamental premise for everything we do, whether you come on a soul walk, whether you come on a retreat, whether you do a one-to-one session with us. You know, the primary thing is for you to feel safe and that you can be your fullest self. I think that's the core of a soul walk. It's not about the distance, it's about the depth of connection.
We say more soul than walk.
Yeah, it's more soul than walk. Yeah. So, you know, it's probably, we only cover about, I don't know, 3 mile max, you know, within a 2 hour walk. It's more the way you walk. It's the depth of connection. So,
do you find that people find it easier to share in a group when they're outside or when they're walking?
I think so. I think there's this very strange thing that goes on, that I believe that when we speak, it's almost like the words then are taken in the wind. You know, so it's almost this then, as if, I don't know, like when you're inside, it's like it's contained, it's bouncing around the walls or something, right? And everyone's going to remember and repeat it back to you, and you're not going to forget your story type thing. So actually being outside is a freedom of just, I'll say the words and they're just gone, you know, poof. So it feels, there's an expansiveness, and I guess we feel, you know, that we can, there's space to you know, puff our chests up and express ourselves, that we don't necessarily feel when we're in confined spaces. And movement, right, as well. So for many people, just moving, you know, EMDR, which is a therapy process modality, you know, was born out of walking and our rapid eye movement. So it stimulates also our brain to think about different things, hence it being in, you know, us finding inspiration in walking. So I think you're also memories are stirred, you know, the conversation and being in a group then has that kind of ripple effect or ricochet of, oh, well, yeah, that happened to me. So I don't know. It's you know, some people talk often in therapy about containership, you know, and containership is supposedly like being in the room and no one hearing you for that to feel safe. And I see a place for that. And I also see a place for actually, you know, like taking the lid off and actually speaking something that might be difficult to say. But if one, you know, if you're heard by others, the support that you get or the mirroring that you get back from others is very profound. So, you know, if you hear someone else say something and you're like, oh, yeah, that happens for me. It's, you know, a sharing in anything in life. Helps us understand ourselves and helps us feel that, you know, there are others going through what we also go through.
But, you know, we do appreciate that, you know, a soul walk doesn't always make one feel better. You know, that because, you know, people who live in cities particularly, they're operating at a very high speed. And, you know, even the act of asking them to walk slowly or in silence is quite triggering. Even just asking them to do that. No one's saying anything. No one's doing anything. We're just asking you to walk slowly. And it's like I've asked them to stick needles in their eyes. You know, so it can really, because busyness and distraction is what keeps things bottled up. And you don't have to face your demons, your what's going on in your subconscious. And so sometimes it can rattle people. And we are acutely aware of that. And we obviously try and do things that help move those thoughts and emotions on. But if we sense or we invite people, if they are struggling, that they can come and speak to us. And if we can't help them, then we will direct them to someone who can. But generally, 99.9% of the time, it does have a beneficial effect. And people do literally walk in and dance out. But on the odd occasion when there is stuff that's suppressed or needing to come out, then a soul walk will probably help do that, whether in the walk or after the walk. So we are mindful of that. And yes, when people are sharing, there can be sometimes a negative reaction. But again, it's how we hold it. And when we're doing our leader, you know, we do a training for soul walk leaders, that's what we go through, is how do you hold group dynamics? And try and avoid them, or if they do come up, to address them with compassion and skill.
We've had people come from Japan who, like, you know, who are intrigued, like you were, with the name, right? They're like, oh, I like the idea of that. And it's not, it feels different. It's not just go for a walk, you know. So right. There's some, it sends off some kind of little curious signal.
You know, and you know, it does sometimes invite, and this is kind of why we do it, you know. It does invite people who are struggling. You know, it's not going to invite people who happy hunky dory and don't need anything. You know, it's going to attract perhaps people who maybe a little lonelier. They're looking for connection, or they're looking for peace. They're looking for something, right? So, just being mindful of that is the situation, and just really be as gentle and kind and inclusive. You know, we keep our soul walks very small. We never have more than 12 to the two of us. So we make sure that everyone feels seen and heard throughout the walk. We make sure that everyone mixes up and walks with different people, so you don't get stuck talking to or being talked at the whole walk, if that's the case. You know, so it's a very well facilitated space, I guess. It's not just a big, you know, we don't have 50 people on a soul walk, you know. So it is, as I said before, it's about the depth of connection and making sure it's meaningful.
It sounds like the perfect antidote to modern life to me.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. And today I'm talking with Carmen Rendell and Andrew Querden from Soul Hub. And in this next part of our conversation, we explore Andrew's journey from the ballroom floor, from Strictly Come Dancing to therapeutic dance, and how movement can help us reconnect with presence and with purpose.
You mentioned, Andrew, about people walking in and dancing out. So I have to use that as my link to something I discovered about you when I was looking on Google, Auntie Google, which is that you have actually, you're a dancer. So your background is ballroom dance?
Ballroom and Latin American dancing, yeah, for about, coming in on 40 years.
So ballroom and Latin American dance. And we all know where we can see that on TV, like the most popular show, and you have been a dancer on Strictly.
Yeah, I was one of the pros back in the early days. I think the second year it was out on TV, the third series, quite an experience. You know, got to meet Patrick Swayze, who was the inspiration for me as a child when I was 10 to start dancing, and various other people.
You actually look like Patrick Swayze.
Well, funny you should say that, right?
More and more like it.
I have a picture. I got to meet him. So they invited me on to It Takes Two when he was in town. He was in London promoting one of his movies. Anyway, and they invited me because I'd said that he was my inspiration to start dancing. So I got to meet him. But the irony is that we rocked up wearing the same clothes. I've got a picture of us. We look like twins. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so I had a little time on Strictly. It was, you know, an amazing sort of kickstart to my professional career, and has opened many doors. And yeah, no, it was a great experience.
And you use dance in your therapeutic work, is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I guess I went through my own healing journey. I between sort of 2011 and 2016, through various sort of traumatic experiences in my life, burnt myself out. I became chronically ill with lots of different issues. And I realized I needed to pull the plug or pull the ripcord and bail. So got rid of everything and went traveling around the world. And it was while I was traveling and on the sort of healing journey, I realized actually how powerful dance is if done well, if done in the right way with the right intentions in the right place, can be very therapeutic. And obviously I was having my own therapy and coaching and was, you know, studying yoga and like the whole thing, nutrition. I mean, I was really digging deep as to why I've landed up the way I am and really asking those bigger questions, you know, who am I? Why am I here? Sort of a spiritual quest, if you could say that. It took me down many, many different paths. I kind of had this epiphany to sort of integrate and become, I guess, more of a well-being practitioner, using dance as my primary tool, as well as yoga and breath. And so I've kind of created my own little career. It's called a therapeutic dance and life coach. So, and sort of pioneering that and seeing where that takes me. So, yeah, you know, and I've done lots of different courses and stuff, but it's just every day's a learning day. You know, we learn from our clients, you know, and It's just about, for me, I don't teach dance, I teach presence. And even if I'm doing, whether I'm doing a soul walk, whether I'm doing a dance class, whether I'm doing whatever, it's about how can I be as present as possible with what is happening and with this person or these people that are in front of me so I can be of service to them. And that's the bottom line. And also teaching them to be present. Because with presence, with awareness, you have agency, you have choice. And so I use walking and dancing as a way of encouraging and helping people become more present.
I love that because walking and dance and music are so deeply bound in our evolution and they have this magic. So to kind of be weaving them all together is like, it's kind of giving me goosebumps.
My whole premise about life is it's life, all of life is a dance. And if you see life through that lens, that everything has a rhythm. Everything requires balance. Everything is has some degree of leadership and followership. In every moment, we are leading and following. right now I'm speaking and you're listening, so you're following, but in any moment you could take over and then I'd become the follower. So in every single moment in our lives, we are in relation with other, we are in a dance with other, whether it be human or plant or animal or the sun. You know, we follow the sun coming up, you know, and the planets. Everything is a dance. So that's the premise of my work. But it's really, as I was going to say earlier, it's this intention. Like, what you do is one thing. Why you do it is a whole other thing. And you can go for a walk to get from point A to point B. You can walk to work or whatever. But you can also just go on a walk for no pure reason but to enjoy the feeling of walking and to appreciate what is happening. So it's really understanding the presence and understanding why you're doing what you're doing and how you're doing it. And so it's all informative. Are we being motivated by fear or inspired by love? Those are the two primary sort of drivers, right? Love and fear. And what is your lens? Are you looking through a lens of fear or are you looking through a lens of love?
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. And I'm talking with Carmen Rendell and Andrew Querden from Soul Hub.
You know, we really see life as a game and an experience. You know, and so therefore, if you see yourself almost as the co-creator of that, then, you know, actually, as Andrew said, being able to take a step back and intentionally choose whatever you want to create. And I think if we as humans really understood, that's how powerful we are.
Mm.
You know, what a different experience your life would be. It's like, okay, here is your life. What do you want to, you know, what do you want to look it to look like, feel like, smell like? And you can create that. You know, you always have a choice to take that next step, to go for the walk, to stay in the garden, to make that call, to apply for that job. I mean, it's infinite amount of choices every moment of every day of what creates your life.
And even again, to notice that you are the one choosing.
I mean, I'm feeling right now, listening to your words, that I'm standing at the edge of a cliff. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, they're like inviting me to just jump off here.
Exactly.
It's quite exciting. I love it. So to go back to your work, I know that you've recently been in Spain to look at a potential retreat venue. And I saw on your Instagram, what is your Instagram? Is it your name, Carmen? Carmen Rendell?
There is mine, yeah, which is Carmen Rendell. And then there's Soul Hub, which is...
And then there's Soul Hub.
The business.
Soul underscore hub.
Soul underscore hub. So anyone who's listening, mm-hmm. I follow Carmen Rendell and it's a really great... I love it. It's a really great platform. You always see fantastic images and pictures of walks. So, yeah, please go and have a look at that. And it was when I was looking at your Instagram that I saw... your retreat, and I think it's called Walk In, Dance Out Retreats. What happens on a walk out?
You have to come
walk in, dance out. I may well come and see, but I want everyone else to know as well.
Can't tell you, it's magic. We'd have to kill you. I guess it's really interesting, right? It's kind of, you know, Andrew and I have been together 6 years, and I met Andrew at a Walk In, Dance Out workshop that he ran. You know, so I mean, we're a bit spookily a bit of a believer in
destiny.
All this destiny and all the synchronicities of, you know. So I arrived there to learn to dance because I couldn't dance. And here we are, you know, years later, using it as, you know, and how perfect, right? I'm the walker, he's the dancer.
Yeah.
But yet we also, you know, cross over and have entered into each other's worlds and takes bits that we need. And so it is, you know, it's very... it's the methodology, but it's also a philosophy, you know, that you walk in and ideally dance out. So you go and stand on that cliff and it's an invitation to actually come with us and find, I guess, everything we're talking about, right? Finding that for yourself. And how we contain it is using, you know, these tools, which is our way of helping facilitate and, yeah, what we use in our lives and seeing whether that helps for other people. And it does in our work. So we're like, okay, well, let's bring it all together, the magic of the group, the magic of the place, and trust that it all perfectly aligns, right people come and, you know, and you get to, you know, I think the best thing is understand what really is going on in this reality. You know, it's raising consciousness of what we are all experiencing, I think, is the best way to explain it.
Self-understanding. you know, and understanding of life. But, you know, our business Soul Hub, it's always been built around the fundamental principles of well-being, and that means basically the physical thing of, you know, your sleep, your diet, your exercise, you know, the mindset. It's nothing, you know, we're not into the gimmicky stuff, the new craze, the new science. That, like, it's no, it's just go back to the basics, simple basics, and do them well and have a balanced life. And then obviously on the emotional, mental side, obviously, you know, honesty, love, integrity, these are the pillars of well-being. And I have always, you know, for many, many years, feel that, you know, with enough love and honesty, you can cure just about anything.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about slowing down. While we invite people to slow down, the slower you go. If you imagine if you're flying in an airplane over London, right? You don't even see it. You might just see a few skyscrapers, right? Then if you think about getting in a car, you see a whole bunch more of London, right? On a bicycle, you see even more. Walking, you know what I mean? So the slower you go, the richer, the more, complex and rich life is. And again, you have a more awareness and you can choose your path. Whereas if you just whiz over it in a plane, well, that's, you know, bang, it's gone, you know?
Thank you so much for talking about your walking and your dancing, but so much more, sharing your wisdom. I know that people listening are going to want to find you and maybe find out about your retreats.
No, at the moment we have one booked in Ireland, in Wicklow. So that's in October, 13th to the 16th, 3 days. And then we're in Brinkburn, which is in Northumberland. And that is in November, the 26th to the 29th of November. And then we will be doing something in Spain. We haven't yet got the dates. But part of, Harriet, what we want to do is there's something about what we're feeling into more about, I guess, what's needed, feels needed in the world as we work with people is finding spaces to kind of be held but to turn off from the world.
And so where can people find out about you?
Yes, so there's Soul Hub, which is soulhub.co.uk. We're also on Instagram, which we said earlier is soul_hub.
We're on Substack.
We're on Substack as well.
We have a podcast called the Soul Hubbers Podcast, which can be found on Apple and Spotify.
That's probably a great listen, I imagine. And then the website is soulhub.co.uk. And then the Instagram is soul_hub. And what is the Substack called?
It is Soul Hub as well. I think it's
Soul Hub.
Yeah, or Soul to Soul Inspiration. Mm-hmm. But if you find Soul Hub, it's all from the website as well. You can find all of that.
Okay, so if people just go to the website, they'll be able to find all your offerings.
We do a monthly community walk, which is kind of on donation wise. We either pay £12, which is the full price, or £6 of commission. And then if you want a more private one-to-one experience, then we do that as well. So depending on your degree of resources, but also what you're looking for, there is, let's say, the cheaper option, and then there's the more intense option for the one-to-one.
You know, we've been training up soul walk leaders, so slowly people are creating their own soul walks around the UK as well.
Thank you so much for talking to me. It's been such a wonderful conversation.
Well, thank you for the invite.
Yeah, we've enjoyed it too.
That's all for today's show. I'm going out for a slow, mindful walk, and I hope you do too. Until next week, happy walking.